It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right, again, hello, everybody. Patrick Johnson here with you on the infamous Patrick Johnson Show on this Wednesday midweek edition. No show yesterday, preempted by Pirate Baseball. But it's nice to have you along for the ride on this Wednesday. We've got the first two of the first four in the books. And, look, I think, we can say this, with, almost all certainty. Virginia had no damn business in the tournament. I mean, woof. Philip the Ref Pilkington, who I hope for the video audience, because, the ladies want to know what he looks like. I hope he's there. I hope he's got a camera on him. Have you disappointed the ladies, Philip the Ref Pilkington?
No, I have not. I got the camera.
Okay.
There you go. Producer Cam, ready to go? Ready to talk some college
Producer
hoops?
Producer Cam.
Ready to talk some opening day of MLB baseball?
Yeah, that got underway this morning, correct?
It did. Shohei.
What do you think of the – did you see the thing where I guess in one of their exhibitions before that there was a somebody who threw out a first pitch that was quite fetching? And the Dodgers dugout responded in kind. Did you see that, Pilk?
I did.
You know
what
I'm speaking of?
Yes, I believe they were playing one of the Korean teams. They're in Seoul right now, and I saw
okay.
it. Yep. You know?
They always say that
baseball always draws in the prettiest women. We'll just put it that way, and we'll
you know, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. Old Mully has said that. We're going to have Mike Mullis tomorrow. Joe Giglio's going to be coming up in a little bit, so I'm looking forward to talking to him. We're going to talk about Clemson's lawsuit against the ACC. We're going to talk about the Wolfpack. Duke, a Final Four talent-level team, but are they a Final Four team? And then, you know, what UNC's prospects are as the number one seed out west. I don't know if UNC's got enough legitimate, consistent firepower to, you know, be a Final Four team, but we'll see. We will see. All of that and a lot more, but why don't we start ahead of Giglio in? Oh, is there anything you want to say, Pilk? Is there anything that I've missed or that I have not adequately covered here. Congratulations to Kevin Williams and Mike Cato and ECU Golf. They got a first win of the year at the ECU Intercollegiate. And the kid O'Neill finished second, just a shot off. So congrats to all of them. Big event out there. Pirate spring football's gotten underway. We're going to hear some comments from Coach Houston in just seconds. And Pirate baseball with perhaps their most complete win of the year. Anything that I've not covered in this moments to open the show here, Pilk, that we need to go over?
Well, PJ, you covered the crappy basketball game that was last night, but I thought that Wagner Howard game had that was March. That's what we live for. That was March.
Yeah,
all 67
was, you know,
games are created equal in the tournament.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was a lot of fun. Wagner was an interesting story because it's a very small school and they had only 7 players available, available. And I thought they did a really wonderful job of dictating the tempo and the pace. Howard looked tight. I was kind of surprised because they'd been in the tournament the year prior. And I'm a big Kenny Blankney fan. I think he has done a fabulous job with the Bison and with that school that had really no basketball spot on the radar until he got there. He's elevated the level of it. It's a bigger deal now. Not only in and among HBCUs, but also just in the landscape of the DMV, it's a bigger deal. So, I am a little surprised they came out, but look, they kept playing at the end. And you're right, Pilk, they had 3 cracks at it at the end to tie it up. 3 looks, pretty good looks for 3. And, didn't knock them down. Tonight we've got, Montana State against Grambling, and I've talked to Maul. He really likes Grambling's coach. This is the first year that Grambling's ever made it. The first time Grambling's ever made it to the tournament. But I have a relative, my uncle Bear, who roots for Montana State, so I'm gonna pull for them tonight. And then I like Colorado over Boise State. Did you know, Philip the Ref Pilkington, that Boise State has the most NCAA tournament appearances without a win?
I did not know that. That's yes. Big. Colorado's the better team, I think, on paper. But I'll tell you, Boise is very good in tight games. They played in a tough Mountain West this year. They're good in tight games. They've come out successful in a lot of those. But I got bad news for your Montana State team. They lost to an NAIA school earlier in the year. They've only got 14 wins. Two of those are against D2 teams. They did beat California in Berkeley. That's good. But 14-17, they're playing their best basketball of the year, but I like Grambling in this one. Sorry, P-Man.
Okay. No, that's fine. And I think for entertainment, well, it's not even for entertainment purposes only, because you can now legally place action on these games here. But I think Montana State was – I know Colorado's a 3.5-point favorite, and
Montana
I kind of like that.
Montana State's 4.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I don't know. You make a good point there. I'm anxious to see what – a lot of it is how tight will Grambling be. That's the key. How tight is Grambling going to be? And then the Tar Heels will face Wagner. That'll be at 2:45 tomorrow in Charlotte. NC State plays tomorrow night. And Duke will play at 7:10 on Friday night. Another interesting game, at least in my opinion, Pilk, is tonight, App State visiting Wake Forest in the NIT. There's a little bit of a blood sport about that one because of proximity. And I think it'll be interesting to see how into it Wake Forest is. If Wake Forest is into it, they should roll. Or at least win convincingly without any heartburn near the end. If Wake is not into it, Appalachian State's going to be into it. So it could be tighter than Wake fans want, and it could be even be an upset if the Demon Deacons are not into it. So that's the challenge there tonight is Wake Forest going to be motivated and be up for that one?
That's
what
a good
is the
point,
line on that
I remember one year, I'll look it up. I remember one year, Patrick, Kentucky was the number one overall seed in the NIT, and they lost to Robert Morris in the first game.
Yep, Bobby Moe.
Yeah,
sure did.
And by no means was Robert Morris a better team than Kentucky. Just to your point, Kentucky's heart wasn't in it. And the Demon Deacons are 7.5-point favorites tonight. I think if they win, they cover easy. But to your point, if they don't,
if they're
care,
not into it,
then they lose outright. Yeah. So
right, exactly. All right, let's get some ECU news in with today's Pirate Report.
And now, Patrick Johnson with today's Pirate Report on the flagship station of the ECU Pirates, 94.3 The Game.
Big thank you to Clay Walker for the threads. He gave me the hookup on this handsome Cutter and Buck ECU shirt. And I'll say this, since I'm not as wide, still pretty wide, since I'm not as wide, the stripes don't look as bad on me.
You look good. I like the shirt, Patrick. I really do. You look good.
Thank you. Thank you. Cliff Godwin says this is the best game that his team has played all year yesterday, taking on the Elon Fightin' Phoenix.
Yeah, Riley, you know, kind of scoring with a push bunt, and then, you know, Ryan had a big two-out single through the sixth hole that scored two, and we were able to score three in the first and then put another one on the board. And then Chris Kaler just put up zeros. I thought he was really good. And everybody had the bullpen. I thought Danny Bill was good. I thought that's the best he's pitched in a while. And Eric Ritchie did his job. D'Lo did his job. I mean, I think it's the best game we've played overall all year.
And Coach Godwin thought the lineup up and down was consistent.
I thought, you know, very up and down lineup, very consistent. I thought we put pressure on them. We executed bunts. Our pitchers threw strikes. We played good defense. Like I said, thought it's the best game we've played this year.
And Coach G on the job that the pitching staff did behind Kaler.
They're probably the best offensive team that they've had in a couple years, and to keep those guys down, especially those top four, he just pounded it and threw multiple pitches for strikes, and then the offense kept adding runs, so we didn't have to, you know, use Shinkman today, which was good, so he'll be fresh for Friday.
And we've got Chris Kaler, who transferred from G-Dub, was their number two starter last season. And Kaler says he's got to credit his defense for his outing.
Obviously, I wanted to go out there, pound the zone, force them to hit my stuff, not make something bigger than it is in the game, just another game out there. And just I had some help behind me defensively, Bristol Carter specifically. I mean, a few plays out there, plus the one at the wall where he jumped up there and caught. So, I mean, can't take all the credit there. I mean, my defense played great defense behind me and really helped me out when I needed it the most.
All right, and he says he actually walked the listeners through his arsenal of pitches.
I mean, obviously, I throw a forcing fastball, slider, curveball, and changeup. I mean, there's obviously different days. I rely on different things. Obviously, everything plays off the fastball command, so being able to command that, put that where I want it. And I mean, today I was able to command it well, but not nearly what I know I can do and have. But off-speed stuff, curveball, been able to flip in there and really keep guys off balance. And slider as well is a pitch that's really come along this year. Coach AK has really helped me out on that and gotten that where it needs to be. And that's just another pitch to keep it off balance. And changeup has been iffy to start the year. And the past few times I've been out there, it's been really helping keep some hitters off balance, giving it a different look. Looks like my fastball and fades away a little bit at the end. But, I mean, all four pitches, if I can throw them for strikes, they'll keep hitters off balance and do what they need to do.
All right, and Chris talked about being used as both a reliever and a starter this season.
We talk about it a lot at ECU, but executing your role for the team, and obviously I get the ball and want to do what I want to do there and prove I can do that, but also when I'm handed the ball in relief, just go do what I do and, again, just help the team go get wins. I mean, every game matters here. Every W is another step, hosting a regional, super regional, and helping us get to where we ultimately want to go. So, like I said, whatever role I'm handed the ball in, I'm going to go out there, do what I have to do, and try to help the team win.
All right. We got Joe Giglio in the offing. And is Joe there? Let's say hello to him very quickly if he's there, because there he is, Joe Giglio. There's a look at that handsome lad. All right, Joe Giglio will join us coming up right after this timeout on the Patrick Johnson Show. And then we'll hear more from Coach Houston later on in the program. But Joe Giglio from the OG Podcast coming up next.
We are.
Riding shotgun with you on the drive home.
It's showtime.
This is the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Dropping most Monday through Thursdays, late morning, midday, it is the OG Podcast, and Joe Giglio is part of that. We had Ovius on before the Super Bowl. I don't know if the powers that be will let me have Ovius on again. Uh-oh. I thought he was great. But I don't know if they're going to allow it. That's all I'm saying, Giglio. So you've got the clearance. I don't know if Giglio does. Giglio may be a once a year guest, maybe, or Ovius. And he was great, by the way. He was great. All right. How are you, Mr. Giglio? Here we are. The NCAA tournament is upon us.
Yeah, it's the best time of the year, Patrick. You get to see the best basketball. And a tournament format that is not always fair, but always produces drama.
They also want to, the NCAA has talked about, and I guess certain teams want to expand it to 80. That seems to be the word around the campfire. I've talked to some purists who have been against expanding it like something like 96. They don't seem to mind the idea of 80. That seems like it's going to happen, if not next season, the season after. Where are you on that many schools in the dance?
I'm all for the more the merrier, Patrick. I'd love to see a 96 team field. You're just adding another week or two to the field, depending on how many you want to go to. And college basketball's biggest problem is the only thing that anyone pays attention to is the tournament. So kind of like the black box on the airplane, why not make the whole airplane out of the black box? Have as much tournament games as you can.
And, you know, I think that's the thing that, especially now you have legalized sports gambling in this state and it becomes more legal in other states. I mean, it's probably one of the most bet on events, I would say, certainly outside of the NFL. It probably is right up there. You know, I know a lot of people place bets on NBA games and things like that, but you got to think that this is one of the more bet events this time of year. Does it do away with college basketball conference tournaments if we do that?
You know, it's weird. The ACC is going to 18 teams next year in basketball. They're not inviting all of them. I hate that. I hate that. So if you're not going to have a full conference tournament anyway, then,
I mean, there's ways around it.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways around it. The ACC is obviously not that creative, though. I was disappointed in the solution that they came up with. So it might as well be the Alpha and the Omega. Patrick, 1954, NC State won the first ACC tournament, and 2024, I'll just count that as the last one.
Hey, Everett Case is rolling over in his grave for them not inviting every team. I will say that.
I agree, and everyone from the state of Indiana feels the same way. You know, that was the whole concept, the chip in a chair, the high school tournament in Indiana. Every team's invited. Everyone's got a shot at it. And, you know, Mike Krzyzewski and actually Jack Swarbrick during the pandemic came up with a plan to put everybody in a tournament that year. Swarbrick with his Indiana roots. I would have loved to have seen it. Again, college basketball needs to get more creative. They don't need to be married to their old norms. They need to figure out how to stay relevant. And while all of this expansion has been done for football, you look at the Big East, they've carved out their own niche in basketball. You know, the ACC certainly doesn't want to go that way. And I don't have a great confidence in what the ACC will look like in 5 years. But I think if you have the basketball brands that they have, you would be best served trying to be as creative as possible.
Joe Giglio from the OG Podcast. The headline reads, Clemson has sued the ACC. At the end of their statement on it, they proclaim that they are a proud member, active member of the Atlantic Coast Conference. So what is this lawsuit about then, Giglio?
Well, they're probably trying to be like, hey, I want a divorce, but we can still be friends. They're clearly trying to get out and go to another conference. So you could sit here and say, that'd be cool if we weren't under your rules right now. There's probably not a planet that exists where Florida State could leave the ACC and the ACC television contract would be worth what it is even now. So the only way for the ACC to protect that is if ESPN were to protect the status quo, which ESPN has an interest in, but obviously the biggest brands in the ACC do not share that same interest.
If Clemson and Florida State depart, well, look, the ACC is not going to acquiesce on any of this, because if they let one person out, especially at a less than agreed to dollar amount, then it's Katie bar the door, because then everybody will be able to come up with that dollar amount one way or the other. Most everybody will. So let's assume they go. Do they have homes?
I'm not sure about Florida State and Clemson, because old thinking, the SEC would not really want them. New thinking might be, well, the SEC doesn't want them to end up in the Big Ten and then have their recruiting territory regularly invaded by Ohio State, Michigan, and all of the new Big Ten schools. So there's might be a yin and the yang there, a give and a take there. Ultimately, I think it's in ESPN's best interests to either protect the ACC or create some sort of super Big 12 where they go to like 30 teams or 32 teams and just make the Big 12 and the ACC all big, one big schmoz.
Two 16 team divisions, essentially, if they go that route.
Yeah, why not? I'm 24, I guess, but.
Yeah, at that point, who cares?
Exactly.
I mean, really, at that point,
who are you playing at that point? You know my feelings on this, P. I would rather see ECU, App State, NC State, Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, Old Dominion, Charlotte, you know, Coastal Carolina, Marshall, Virginia Tech, West Virginia. I'd rather see all of those teams play on a regular basis than any of the other stuff that I'm fed on a regular basis. Heck, I want Maryland back too. But obviously the ship has sailed on that front.
All right, let's talk some actual ball here. With NC State winning 5 games in 5 days, playing 6 games in an 8-day span, they play tomorrow night. You think they will have something in the tank?
It's definitely a tough uphill climb. Texas Tech athletic team, good defensive team. It will be a challenge, no doubt. But I'm not going to doubt this NC State team at this point because of the way that they were able to not only play those 5 games in 5 days, but I thought physically they got through it, P. Like, I didn't have any, I didn't watch DJ Burns or DJ Horn. You know, DJ Horn had the hip injury. DJ Burns is a bigger guy and has struggled, you know, to stay on the floor this year. They both managed to get through it. I think the more of a challenge will be that Texas Tech is a really good, athletic, fast, scoring team, well-coached team. I think that's the challenge there, more so than potential fatigue. You gotta figure, though, State's confidence is off the charts.
I don't know if calling it a Sophie's choice is what State fans would have been faced with here. Maybe it would have been. I don't know. But, look, it's kind of neat in a way. NC State fans are celebrating this maybe as much as if it were a national title. I mean, really. From that standpoint, it's nice to see that the ACC tournament championship is still a big deal. With that said, it extends Kevin Gates two more years through 2030. It gives him a raise. And, look, it was funny. A friend of ours, good friend of ours, I ran into him at a restaurant a few months ago, and I asked him about Keats, and he was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think the guy's going to make it. He doesn't relate to the fan. He was right there getting selfies with Keats at the celebration party the other night.
Hey, you know what? A lot can change. Kevin was coaching for his job, though, that Louisville game in particular, and I thought he did a really – I thought he pushed all the right buttons up in D.C., calling timeouts when he needed to. I mentioned DJ Horn didn't play against Louisville. Brought him off the bench for three games. Then for the Carolina game, knowing he would need more scoring, started him, just getting everything out of DJ Burns that he did and managing his minutes the way that he did. Everything worked out well for Kevin Keats, and I'm happy for him. He's a good guy, and I think there have been challenging circumstances in his first 7 years here. And to see the payoff at the most unexpected time, my goodness gracious. And I think you're right. State fans are celebrating as if it is the equivalent of a national title or a Final Four, because it hasn't happened since 1987 and because they beat Duke and Carolina in the process to get there. That's the other thing. And you have friends here in the Triangle. You have obviously friends in Greenville too, that they're Carolina fans and you know State fans, and they want to have something to argue about. Right? You can only argue about football for so long.
Yes.
You want to be able to have something that you can say. And now finally they have that. It reminds me of Maryland in 04, Patrick, because, you know, they had won the national title in 02 and they were certainly celebrating that. But remember that, you know, they beat Indiana and I think they beat Roy when he was at Kansas.
Yeah.
But when they won in 04, they beat everybody. And so it was like, that was almost more value to that, to beat Duke and go through Duke and Carolina the way that they did.
Boy, things have changed in 20 years, haven't they? Joe Giglio from the OG podcast. Yes, is with us here. Want to ask you about the other team in that equation, North Carolina. I think they have talent, but do they have enough offensive firepower? And is the defense really that good to get to Phoenix?
I think they have a dream draw, and that may sound like I'm giving them a backhanded compliment. My primary concern is the same as yours, as we saw in the State loss. Quarterback Ryan didn't shoot well, and there was a reason, because the other guards bothered him. Elliot Cadeau wasn't great, and there was a reason, because the other guards bothered him. Carolina, to me, you always know what you're going to get out of R.J. Davis. You always know what you're going to get out of Ingram. And for the most part, you know what you're going to get out of Armando Bacot, particularly in big games, though you're going to see more from Armando Bacot. The real differentiator has to be Cormac Ryan making his shots, which we saw in Cameron Indoor Stadium. And then Cadeau going to the basket. He doesn't have to score, but he has to be aggressive and initiate offense. He wasn't able to do that against State in the title game. And I look at their path, and my goodness, it's paved in gold. So even if they get Caleb Love. Patrick, how is one a Tar Heel for life if you no longer play for the Tar Heels? I'm very confused by that.
Well,
not to get your Irish up, but NC State has a third baseman from ECU who's hitting the cover off the ball right now. But yeah, I don't think he's running around with like Pirate for Life on his shoes. You know what I mean? Like, you made a choice. Yeah. You left. Unless for life means something else. I don't get it.
Well, you know, it's like the guys that leave early from Duke. They're still part of the brotherhood. Part of the brotherhood.
All of 11 games. Yeah.
Right. So let me go to Duke. Again, Final Four talent But I don't know if this is a Final Four team. I don't even know if this is a second weekend team.
I totally agree. I think James Madison's going to get them. They got a favorable draw in Vermont. They should take care of Vermont fairly easily. But this is Duke's all about next year. Duke's, they have Cooper Flagg and the rescue squad coming in next year. This team didn't pan out the way that it was supposed to, and that's fine. It happens. Now next year, there will be real scrutiny on John Shire because he will have, the equivalent of a Jason Tatum, a Zion Williamson, you know, all of the other great players that they've had in the one and done parade in Cooper Flagg. And that's where the rubber's going to meet the road for John.
Some really smart Duke fans, and there are some that still think next year's the year. But I was talking to a really smart one the other day, and I liked what he said. It's, you know, so much now today is about roster construction, roster management in a sense. He just doesn't think this one and done young, top recruiting class. I mean, he said they're great at winning recruiting national championships. When are they going to win a national championship? Can that work, especially now when everybody can get older in an off season? Look, North Carolina, older than Duke, handled them.
Yeah.
NC State in that ACC tournament game, 3 fifth-year guys out there, handled them.
I was stunned when Duke didn't get at least one valuable part out of the portal last year. I'm still trying to figure out what their freshman class this year was supposed to add other than Jared McCain. That's been a struggle. Filipowski and Proctor were supposed to be the bus drivers on this team. They've been productive at times, but they've struggled to really find their form from the end of last year when they were able to win the ACC title. Duke needs to get an older player out of the portal to and I would say both, and have Jeremy Roach come back for his COVID season of eligibility. I think that would make them older. That would give them some continuity. But otherwise, you're right. You're really rolling the dice. Cooper Flagg is supposed to be that guy. That's what I'll say. You know, we've seen freshmen at Duke be that guy, and then we've seen others struggle and shrink in it. And I'll trust what the evaluators are saying about Cooper Flagg. But again, this first year was a honeymoon. Second year, you're hearing some rumblings. Third year is okay. You need to go to the Final Four. That's the standard at Duke. Yeah. That's their new standard. So.
Yeah. Let's get you out of here on this. Appreciate you doing this today. Playing a little hurt, but give me your Final Four before this thing really starts with the Field of 64.
I got some crazy ones there, Patrick. I've got the Heels because I think they have the easiest path. I've got Texas A&M because I think they're good enough to beat Houston. And then I have McNeese State.
Really?
Purdue is the most fraudulent team in the history of basketball. And Rick Barnes is not capable of getting to the Final Four in Tennessee. Tennessee's never been to the Final Four. And then my last one is Auburn, even though I will be rooting for UConn. But I feel like UConn somehow ended up in the most difficult region. I'll be clear. If UConn gets to Arizona, they win, they repeat. I don't think they're going to get to Arizona. That's my concern for them.
Interesting. Hey, good stuff. Check out the OG podcast. Julio is on that, and it is 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. You can catch it. What about noon? It rolls out, Julio, on late mornings?
Yep. Podcast form comes out 10:30. Video form on YouTube premieres at 2 o'clock every day.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks a lot.
Same, my friend. Be good.
All right. There he goes. Joe Giglio. Awesome to have him on here with us this afternoon, bottom of the hour. And Philip the Ref Pilkington is going to assume the role now. He's been slaving away over a hot editing bay and a hot keyboard as he puts together a 94.3 The Game Sports Update and Pirate Report. Pilk, take it away, and when we come back, we'll have some Mike Houston comments for the gang out there. But right now, here's Pilk.
Thanks, P-Man. Starting in Pirate Athletics, the baseball team made it 8 in a row last night as they defeated the Elon Phoenix 10-1. Chris Kaler threw 5 innings, throwing just 60 pitches in that time. He allowed 1 run, but he did give praise to the 8 guys around him.
I had some help behind me defensively, Bristol Carter specifically. I mean, a few plays out there, plus the one at the wall where he jumped up there and caught. So, I mean, can't take all the credit there. I mean, my defense played great defense behind me and really helped me out when I needed it most.
Moving on to Pirate Golf. They won the ECU Intercollegiate over, sorry about that, over UCF, Barton College, Temple, and Dartmouth. Also, the Pirates, one of the Pirates finished second. Drew O'Neill brought home second in the overall tournament. Pirate Golf also landed a big recruit over the weekend as Farmville Central's Holden Rucker will be joining the 2024 recruiting class for Coach Williams. Last year, Rucker finished second in the 2A state championship, finishing 3 under par. RJ Felton has received some postseason accolades yesterday as he was named to the second team all district by the NABC. The MLB season got underway this morning in Seoul, South Korea as the Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2. Shohei Ohtani had a pair of hits and an RBI in his Dodgers debut. Tomorrow morning will be the second and final game of this two-game stint as Joe Musgroves will face Yoshinobu Yamamoto in that contest. That game will be on ESPN at 6:05. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. On the other side of this timeout, we will hear from Mike Houston as he addressed the media for the first time after yesterday's first spring football practice of the 2024 season.
Download the new IVX Media app now and get the show for your ears and eyes.
Doesn't it look great on me?
This is the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
All right. I want to give you guys a little bit of an update. As you know, I have been working with East Carolina Weight Loss since before the holiday season. And so as of the Monday weigh-in, pardon me, I had down 38 pounds. This is in 3 months. 38 pounds is what I've lost. My BMI is down 6. Let me make sure I get the right number here as far as the inches I've lost. Because that, to me, is what is pretty phenomenal. 6 inches off the chest, 6.5 inches off the waist, and 7.5 inches off my hips. Because, Pilk, my hips don't lie. So, East Carolina Weight Loss. They've given me a new lease on life in many ways. After the show, I'm going to go take a stroll on the beach before the first four games begin. And it's a natural way to get healthy. There are no drugs. There's no injections. East Carolina Weight Loss, they know the secret to losing a pound of fat every day naturally, safely, and effectively. You're not going to have to count points. You're not going to have to count calories. You're not going to have to exercise, although you'll feel better, so you probably will at least walk like I do. There's no prepackaged meals they're sending you in the mail. There are no drugs, no surgery, no injections. You know, some of those injections do have a risk of some kind of wonky side effects. You can schedule your free consultation now one of two ways. Call 252-496-3610, 252-496-3610, or visit eastcarolinaweightloss.com. No matter what, when you go in, mention me. And you can lose 20 to 30 pounds in about a month or two. Intern Isaac, who's here with us in the mornings at the station, his dad lost 30 pounds in the first month. So call and get your free weight loss consultation now. It's 252-496-3610, 496-3610 for East Carolina Weight Loss, or you can go to eastcarolinaweightloss.com, eastcarolinaweightloss.com. Look, if it's working for me, it'll work for you. Because, I mean, I've never had any success to any of that. To any of this. None. Zero. Zilch. But this has worked for me. And it's much easier than I thought it would be. It's never easy. But it's easier than I thought it would be. All right. Let's play the Pirate Report open for part deux of our Pirate Report.
And now, Patrick Johnson with today's Pirate Report on the flagship station of the ECU Pirates, 94.3 The Game.
All right, Coach Houston and the Pirates opened up American Athletic Conference preparations and 2024 preparations yesterday with the start of spring practice, one of 15 such practices before the Purple Gold scrimmage takes place on the 13th of April. This is Coach Houston giving an opening statement as he addressed the media after practice.
Awesome to be back out on the field. Great to be back out there with the guys, and it's an exciting time right now. I'm sure the guys that were at practice at the beginning, since the it's a lot different. Okay, energy was a lot different, pace was a lot different. Thought the kids, we were really excited to be out there. I told them, I said, we had great effort. I thought they practiced really fast. Now we got some execution stuff that we need to clean up, but that's going to be with any first day. But, it's just like a breath of fresh air to be back out on the field. So very pleased with everything from day one, and now we get to go look at the film and, correct everything because we can all do things better. Coaches, we can do things better Thursday. Players, I told them, find things that you can do better on Thursday, but we just got to, build on each day. But it was just it was good to be back out there together.
This was Coach with having new ideas with so many new faces on the staff.
We got six new on-field coaches and several, new off-the-field support staff people. So, there's a lot of new ideas that walked in the door. And then just with their connections, a lot of research there. And then, just with how we're practicing, not only this spring but this fall, Coach Williams and I started, back in the, as soon as the season was over, just kind of researching ways to do things better from a preparation standpoint. And I just think that, like I said, change is good in this situation. And, I think that it's going to, benefit all of us.
Coach was asked if there was any sloppiness at practice.
There was a little bit of sloppiness late in practice just because, the tempo of practice is different now. So it's, someone got a little gas. It's first day out there. You go from doing OTAs and lifting weights to all of a sudden going out there and having a 21 period practice at a very high pace. And, so a little bit of fatigue there towards the end. But that's all right. They kept their energy and kept going. So that's what I mean is, if you can clean some of that stuff up, that'll be the challenge. Week one. Saturday we'll put on pads, so you're probably going to see another, round of, sloppiness as they learn to incorporate all this into, into pads and padded practice and some live action. So, but it's, that's part of the progression.
And Coach talked about if that practice would be physical off the jump.
Saturday will be a physical practice. We've already scripted out and put together all of this week, and so kind of building up towards it. Thursday will be very similar to today. We'll put on shoulder pads on Friday, but we're going to be out there, much shorter, just because I want them fresh for Saturday morning. But Saturday morning will be a very physical practice, and I hope the weather will cooperate with us because we have junior day, so we'll have a lot of recruits on campus. We'll be in the stadium, but you'll, with that intensity, they can sit out there and they can talk about what they're going to do, in helmets, but that tempo is different than, when to put the pads on. But, you'll have some live action Saturday, and so we'll start seeing that physicality incorporated in.
All right, Coach, on the quarterback reps, you got a couple there in Garcia and Caton, and how is that being divided?
I thought both of them looked really good. Obviously there's some things that, they've got to clean up, but, both of them, I thought, displayed good control of the base offense. I thought both of them, showed the arm talent that they both have. And both of them made some really nice throws, intermediate down the field. I thought we saw some of the new speed that we have at receiver out there today. So, today Caton was with the ones. And Jake was with the twos. I'm sure that we'll flip that on Thursday and just see how they both handle, that other role. But I thought both of them looked very good today.
Pilk, you know how they handled that?
Or how I was they told they were that? Supposedly going to flip a coin.
Yeah, John David Baker told us Monday night they were flipping a coin. So I guess Hauser called it and got it. And so Caden Hauser was out there, and Jake Garcia will be out there Thursday as a result. Coach Houston, excited about the direction the program is going?
I'm just excited. I'm excited about the direction of our program. And I'm ready to get the nasty taste out of my mouth. And so that's what I'm excited for. I appreciate these kids. I'm excited about our new coaches. I'm excited about our returning coaches. I appreciate our donors that have really, you know, stayed behind us and really been committed to our program. And so my excitement is for, you know, getting Pirate football back to where we all want it to be and exceeding, you know, anything we've done here the past several years.
Well, there you have it. So that is today's second Pirate report. There will be a practice Thursday and then a practice Saturday morning. Our crew will be covering it for you stem to stern both days and throughout the spring ball period. So that is something to look forward to there. Pilk, did you see last night, staying with the ECU theme and staying in the American, the NIT? Now, the NIT has been ravaged by a half dozen or so teams that decided they didn't want to participate in the NIT. Providence and Memphis and St. John's and Oklahoma. I'm sure I'm leaving Indiana. So there were a ton of teams that just decided we don't want to play in the NIT. This despite the NIT abandoning what they have done in recent years, and that is guaranteeing a spot for a conference champion in the regular season if they don't win their tournament. And that's mainly geared towards the mid-majors and making sure that they got a postseason destination. The NCAA did that. Well, in all of their infinite wisdom in the NIT, they have decided, all right, we are not going to, abide by that anymore because we can't have another North Texas UAB matchup. So what have they done? What are they going to do? What are they doing? They have, they moved it out of Vegas, which was probably smart, and they're going to play it at the Hinkle Fieldhouse, which is smart. But they've said we're going to take more of these, you know, so-called P5, P6 level teams and put them in. What they did as a result of inviting all these teams, they had to end up going and getting some institutions that they probably would rather not have. So South Florida gets a fifth seed, the regular season champ who won 15 in a row at one point in the regular season. In the conference portion of the regular season, gets a fifth seed, and they have to travel along I-4 for a bottom half of the Big 12 UCF team. So what happened? USF went in there determined. USF went in there with a little fire in their pants, a little fire in their belly. And they ended up winning the game 83-77. So that's a great thing, and I think it further, I don't want to say justifies, but it further, the word's escaping me right now, but it just proves that, you know, this was a legitimate regular season in a pretty legitimate conference for USF. And there's the whole war on I-4 part of it, too. So, I mean, that's a big happening in this and a big part of what goes on in this game. And the team that had the emotional edge last night was South Florida. So the American picks up a win in the postseason with the NIT. All right, we're taking a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up today's show, get you ready for tomorrow, Patrick Johnson Show.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Tomorrow, Mike Mullis scheduled to be with us. Brian Moe will be with us live on the program tomorrow. We'll be talking March Madness, little thing we like to call that. Let me see here. Tonight at 6:40 is the first of the first four games. That is going to be Montana State and Grambling, and it is now a 5-point Montana State line in their favor. So they're -5. Colorado's down to -3. So there you go. Over Boise State, the line's tightening as you get a little closer to the start of that tonight. Let me see. Any other interesting games? SMU and Indiana State, -7.5 are the Sycamores with an over-under of 160. It's kind of intriguing. App State, Wake Forest, as Pilk outlined earlier, Wake, a 7.5-point favorite at home. And again, I just think it comes down to, are they going to be motivated and want to play? If they do, then they'll be, it'll be fine. I think Villanova hosting VCU is interesting tonight. VCU got to the finals of the, A-10 tournament. Cincinnati, 7.5-point favorite against San Francisco, the Dons, tonight, out of the West Coast Conference. So the West Coast Conference getting three teams into the, postseason, which is interesting. Yeah. Tomorrow we're looking forward to having Mike Mullis on. We'll talk about ECU's win against Elon and preview the series this weekend, the conference opening series against UTSA. We'll also hear tomorrow from Brian Mull. He'll be with us. We'll talk about the games that have been played to that point, the games that are being played, and the games that will be played Thursday and Friday in the NCAA tournament. Thanks to Joe Giglio for being with us today. Great to talk to him. Interesting stuff with the ACC. It is not looking like that is going to be a cohesive situation that stays together. And Friday's a little in flux for me because of the TV schedule and the weather. So we may get a guest on to talk a little further about that. We'll just sort of see where we are with that, or Pilk may, or we'll figure it out. But I know we'll be here tomorrow, and looking forward to that. So join us for the Patrick Johnson Show coming up tomorrow, 94.3 The Game and the IBX Media app. Wherever you've been listening or watching us, anywhere, thanks for doing so. And we will catch up with you later on. See you in the morning on Talk of the Town back here on the PJ Show tomorrow afternoon.